Warning. You are listening to Perpetual Sin Podcast. Both co-hosts are Satanists.
You are listening to Perpetual Sin Podcast. We are two Satanists who grab a topic in the world and discuss it from our satanic perspective. I'm Jason. I'm a Satanist.
I am Joshua, hung like a boss on a cross in cock you lust, Malmerpookin.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's fucking good, man.
I'm trying to keep it topical for the episodes.
Oh, man, that's good. So speaking of the topic of our episode, we are talking about In God We Distrust. All right, Josh, I thought we'd get started with this. Are we patriots? Do you consider yourself a patriot? If so, how or how not?
No.
Okay.
I do not consider myself a patriot.
All right.
I am absolutely disgusted by the U.S. government.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the two-party system.
So you're referring to sort of the establishment of the two-party system?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of checks out everything else?
It's the financial means that fuel these things, all the celebrities that are...
Super PACs and shit.
You know, like, hey, trust in me because I'm a celebrity and you know me from, you know, this, and this. Past few elections, I have chosen not to choose, and that's how I'm voicing, and...
Ooh, that itself right there is a deep topic on the...
Absolutely.
I respect that. Yeah, for most of my life, I have not voted either. I realize that a lot of people are like, oh, you couldn't possibly consider yourself a good American if you don't vote.
I'm not a good American.
Yeah, give me something worth voting for. Anyway,
right.
I'm sorry, dude, back to your thing.
No, you know, and I do like a lot of the third party things that are going on. There's a lot of things I agree with. There's a lot of things I disagree with, much even with the red and the blue parties. I agree and disagree with both parts. Most people would say you're a moderate. And I don't even go that far. Some people have said you're independent. Some people have told me you were liberal. I don't care.
Yeah.
I think a lot of politics and things with that with America, it's just a talking head behind a bigger conspiracy. And that bigger conspiracy is obviously Arby's or Chick-fil-A, because that is our own personal fucking red and blue. We're going to get into that soon enough.
That's our Marvel tease on that movie.
I don't trust the government at all.
Okay, nor do I. I'm with you.
I'm an American citizen. I have sex with a lot of women that are from a country south of us. I do love a lot of the freedoms and liberties and stuff. The freedom of speech, religion. I enjoy this country. It just, things could change.
Okay,
a lot of things can change. I'm definitely not one of the make America great again
okay,
people.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
But
yeah.
Let's make America better.
Fuck yeah, man.
Jason, tell me, are you a patriot?
I'll say this. I'm not a patriot in the modern day sense of America. I do consider myself a patriot in terms of the founding documents of the fucking nation,
right,
which we are so far away from right now. By that, I'm referring to the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, and its amendments. I'm definitely not a patriot, and I don't think you are either, Josh, in the sense that so many people claim that the United States of America is a, quote, Christian nation. It is fucking not a Christian nation.
Because we are going back to Amendment 1, freedom of right, religion, freedom of speech. Religion.
The First Amendment to the United States Constitution has what we refer to as the Establishment Clause. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And has been commonly interpreted, that little quote, as limits Congress from establishing an official religion, and as limits Congress from promoting any specific religion with taxes, as in...
Ooh, that's sus.
There shall not be a theocracy. And oh, will the talking points of this episode get into how much that's been fucked with?
Ooh, that's sus.
Yeah, so exactly. Right then and there, the Establishment Clause. The separation of church and state, basically, is how this has been summed up in talking points in the modern era. Let's talk about what is a proper theocracy. So the pertinent definition, there's a few of them out there, but the pertinent one I found is that it is a political unit governed by a deity or by officials thought to be divinely guided. A theocracy that we have in the real world today is Vatican City, aka the Holy See in Rome.
I don't trust like that.
Christian theocrats. There's Project Blitz. There's the family. There are things we keep mentioning and we will do deep episodes on in and of themselves later. But there is a huge evangelical push to influence the government. And this is how we get into what we're going to be talking about later, which is like In God We Trust on our money and One Nation Under God in our Pledge of Allegiance. That was not there to begin with. It was there as a result of Christian influence trying to bit by bit boil the frog of the United States into a fucking theocracy under Christian rule.
Fucking making America great again, essentially.
Yes, fuck that.
Yeah.
There's this concept called accommodationalism that goes something like this. The government may support or endorse religious establishments as long as it treats all religions equally and does not show preferential treatment. So this gets to the idea, TST is heavily involved in this.
Oh, I wonder why.
Pushing plurality, that is, you know, the usual thing is you go in there, you open the door for Christians to have their monuments and their mottos on government buildings where you have to allow all religions to come in and have equal access to those public spaces to have their monuments or their mottos. Or, as TST is actively involved in again here, giving invocations before like city council meetings or local government meetings or whatever, right? Where Christian or other similar religions are allowed to come in and give a prayer or an opening invocation, but TST gets involved and says, well, if you're opening a door for this, again, you need to not pick and choose. And yet there is picking and choosing because all of these exceptions, all of these things were essentially opened and pushed by Christians under the idea of, oh, well, you're oppressing us and we want the freedom of religion, but that doesn't mean everybody else's religion. We are going to get much more into that in the sort of the second half of this episode, looking into exactly how we got In God We Trust on our money and how we got One Nation Under God in our Pledge of Allegiance and a few other talking points in that space. But yeah, we are challenging, is this a Christian nation? It is not. Hence, this is the In God We Distrust episode.
Like that.
Yeah.
I don't trust like that. That's going to be like my entire statement for the entire fucking show is I don't trust like that.
All right. We will be back. Fuck God and hail Satan.
Ave Domine Inferni.
You are listening to Perpetual Sin, and this is our In God We Distrust episode, and we have much to talk about that. But first, let's get some housekeeping out of the way. We are one of the sponsors of the upcoming Illinois Doomed and Stoned Music Festival, to be held on September 1st and 2nd at Metal Monkey Brewing in Romeoville, Illinois. And we are doing a ticket giveaway. So all you need to do is create a slow, heavy metal music playing meme. Send it to us on Facebook or on prior episodes. You know, we'll put it in the show notes how you can get it to us. But yeah, that'll get you a chance to win 2 free 2-day tickets to the Illinois Doomed and Stone Music Festival on September 1st and 2nd at Metal Monkey
Brewery. Come hang out. Tell us how much you disenjoyed the show.
Yeah, Josh and I will both be there in various ways. Yeah. So
our homeboy Lee from the last episode is going to be hanging out.
Yep.
My boy Andre from Maiden 81.
Ah, yeah.
Is also going to be hanging out with fucking Pale Horseman.
Fuck yeah, man.
Which leads me to pimp. I have 2 shows coming up with Maiden 81.
Tell us all about it, man.
And one with my main band, Metalation. So, on August 19th at Pub 72 in Gilbert's, Maiden 81 is going to be playing with War Pigs, the Black Sabbath tribute, and the King Diamond tribute, Abigail. I have seen them many times.
I've seen them too. Yeah,
they're fucking so good.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, the following Friday, and I'm missing one of my favorite bands, Haunt, to play this show. I'm doing double duty with Maiden 81 and Metalation at Tony D's in, I believe, Elmwood Park.
Nice.
That is going to be an insane show. I'm going to at least have 40% of my guitar collection with me, which means 5 or 6 guitars. So rob me after the show and get a knife to the throat. Otherwise, come hang out and have a fucking great time because it is going to be a night of Iron Maiden, classic metal, awesomeness at a great venue with awesome fucking promoters being Nick and Angie. Always a pleasure to work with them. Playing with my boy Andre again with Maiden 81 and Pale Horseman Doom and Stone. Fucking awesome. Let's go, champions!
Hell fucking yeah.
Awesome.
All right, so we're only going to briefly mention this because we're going to talk much more about it in a future episode. In one of our recent episodes, I think it was on our LGBTQIA plus Pride episode, two shows ago, we talked about that whole drama with the photo with Lucien and Silverman. You can go back to that episode or go Google it yourself. But here we're just going to say there have been some developments in and about the Satanic Temple as a consequence of this whole Lucien photo drama. It's a whole deep subject and it's still developing. And yeah, so we'll get back to that later. What we are going to be talking about today is, you know, I want to start by pointing out and uprooting some of the ideas that many Christians point to in support of the idea that this is a Christian nation, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to dial the clock way back for a minute here and talk about Christmas as a federal holiday. Josh, when do you think that was even brought in?
I'm going to say the 30s or 40s.
No, the 1870s to 80s. It was incrementally declared for different federal employees, agency by agency, until eventually...
Because there was like three federal things. Like you had a government, you had the post office, and you had...
Yeah, something like that.
Amazon at that point.
Yeah. Christmas as a federal holiday is a thing as of the 1870s to 80s that, if you ask me, that itself is a fuck up. There we were. We were way back in the 1870s. I didn't see much further development worth talking about until the modern 20th and 21st century. So Josh, here we are. In the 1950s. Now, I want to talk about the 50s as just an overall subject because a lot happened in the 50s.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's kind of set the stage here really briefly for the sake of this conversation, right? We're talking sort of immediate, sort of the fallout of post-World War II.
Yeah.
We have sort of the Cold War and the Red Scare that developed around that time. This was sort of all in the pocket of the Eisenhower administration. It was in the 50s that we had sort of the emergence of and the growing influence of an evangelical lobby, sort of building their power base to push and pull the strings of government through various channels of influence. And there's a central figure here, Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an evangelist and an ordained Southern Baptist minister who, among other things, he is most known for sort of, again, in the context of the Cold War and the Red Scare, conflating communism with Satanism, those satanic Russians.
Ooh.
And so his counterpoint to that was, those godless Soviets, what we need in America is God-fearing Americans. We have the introduction, it was in the 50s, again, this pivotal period in to which Christians of the modern day like to point, you know, when they say this is a Christian nation, all this shit got started in the 50s. And one of the major facets as such is the National Prayer Breakfast got started
suck my knobs
during the Eisenhower administration in the 50s.
Because I like bacon and sausage and eggs for my National Prayer Breakfast while I'm waking up at noon from a fucking hangover.
Yeah.
And then going, who the fuck is in my bed and what the fuck happened last night? I hope she can speak Spanish. And if not, it's vamonos puta madre.
Yeah, but we will definitely come back on the subject of National Prayer Breakfast because that itself is a whole deep subject because that concerns itself with this organization that, among its various terms, is the family, as in the Christian theocratic institution that is sort of pushing and pulling on the strings of government. They were responsible for introducing the National Prayer Breakfast, and they are responsible for so much shit in the history of the worst form of American export of Christian nationalism around the world ever since. So fuck them. But also in the 50s, this is where, and this is key, In God We Trust on Our Money and One Nation Under God in our Pledge of Allegiance was all started in the 50s. Christians like to point to these two facts in particular as this was, always has been, and always will be a Christian nation because of these things. In God We Trust on Our Money and One Nation Under God in our Pledge of Allegiance.
I fucking despise the fucking 50s as an entire thing, the more we get into this entire concept.
Oh, yeah.
It's the nuclear family bullshit.
Exactly,
it's the following the... This is what's... We have to follow the Christian path, the 2.5 fucking children.
That whole concept of the nuclear family, whenever people are looking to create a panic, they always try to make something that's like pure and innocent as what's at stake. And the nuclear family of the 2.5 kids, the white picket fence and all that crap, was that precious thing that's at stake.
I personally want to nuke the nuclear family.
Yeah, right?
I'm fucking...
Well, to this day, people are still using it. Modern fucking politicians.
As a fucking sink, suck my knob.
Mm-hmm.
As a former dink, suck my knob.
You're talking single income, no kids.
Yes.
Dual income, no kids.
Yeah, like that is the fucking life of fucking champion. You know as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I've been in both places, yeah.
Both are fucking great.
They are, yeah. I think it's fair to say that a lot of damage was done in the 50s to the fabric of, if you ask me, American culture, by the intrusion of early theocrats.
Sure.
And again, this is our In God We Distrust as fucking Satanists.
I don't trust like that.
Looking into the history of how this shit got started. All right, Josh, let's get into the changes to the Pledge of Allegiance. How about that? That's a yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the brief introduction of the Pledge of Allegiance in 1892, the original, it underwent slight rewording all the way up until 1924. It in part read this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Notice what's not in there?
I know, and I like that.
Now, guess what? In 1954, the change was made, so it would read this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, one nation under God was wedged in there in 1954. Have we mentioned how the 50s sucked?
Yeah.
Just where did this whole concept of one nation under God, or quote, under God, even start? In 1863, we're going to go to nothing less than Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. As in, everybody knows this as the 4 score and 7 years ago Gettysburg Address. There was a line in that larger address which went like this, quote, that nation shall, under God, have a new birth of freedom, unquote. So, that is the first sort of American invocation or use of the, quote, under God concept. Let's jump forward to 1948. There was this fucker by the name of Louis Albert Bowman. Who is this? Someone of Chicago, Illinois. So fuck that guy in particular.
Okay.
Future Cutlass inductee, hint. This Louis Albert Bowman figure cited Lincoln's Gettysburg Address as the inspiration as he began adding under God in his personal recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance. So he just quietly, privately started doing it himself. He looked at the Gettysburg Address and said, I'll squeeze the one nation under God into the Pledge of Allegiance. So that's in 48. In 51, the Knights of Columbus got involved in 1951.
Ooh, isn't that a biker gang now?
I don't know. I do know this. They were, and I think still are, a very large Catholic fraternal organization that also began including, quote, under God in their reading of the Pledge of Allegiance. Then, in following years, they, the Knights of Columbus, used their size and influence to petition the U.S. Congress to adopt one nation under God nationwide. So that was in 51. And now, here we go. There's the main event, 1954, the very same year in which the change was made. Let's set the stage. We mentioned again, President Eisenhower, who was a Presbyterian, was influenced by a Presbyterian minister by the name of George McPherson Dougherty, and his sermon, A New Birth of Freedom, which was based on the Gettysburg Address. See how this is all tying back? In which this fucker McDougherty opined on the Pledge of Allegiance, quote, there was something missing in the pledge. And that which was missing was the characteristic and definitive factor in the very American way of life. Unquote. To which he then cited Lincoln's under God in the Gettysburg Address. So he was basically saying that God is missing in the, quote, definitive factor of the American way of life. So Eisenhower listened to this Dougherty guy and then used a proxy, Representative Oakman of Michigan, to introduce the bill to change the pledge to include under God, and go figure, it passed with Eisenhower's signature.
Eisenhower's a cuck.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
He's not a cock. He's not a fucking cunt. He's a cuck.
Yep. So get this. Eisenhower signed that.
Was he on any money?
Huh?
Is he on any sort of financial?
I don't know. I don't care.
Is he on 50?
Yeah. I'm trying not to see red right now.
I'm trying not to see green, but I'm fucking Googling it. I don't fucking give a shit.
While you're doing that, let's just tie this up. Eisenhower signed it into law on Flag Day, June 14th, 1954, saying, quote...
He's got his own expressway. He's also a cunt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
here in Chicago. Isn't it always fucked up, right, Eisenhower?
It's perpetually fucked up, yeah, for one reason or the other.
We're also perpetually sinful. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but I'm reading in part from his Flag Day signing of law. He said, quote, from this day forward... The millions of our school children will daily proclaim in every city and town, every village and rural house, the dedication of our nation and our people to the Almighty. In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons, which forever will be our country's most powerful resource in peace and war. This is what he read about adding one nation under God to our
country. Eisenhower.
Yeah, Eisenhower.
Okay, you want to hear how useless Eisenhower is?
Give it to me.
He's on the $1 coin.
Yeah.
And on the back is the Apollo 11. It's like I'm looking this up, and I'm like, wow, like, I've never actually even obtained a $1 coin. That dude's fucking dome is balder than mine. But, like, I've got fucking far more fucking hair on my pussy than this dude's got on his fucking entire fucking rectum. Like, he's flat out, like, he looks like a cunt. So, and it's like the 1969 Apollo 11 mission. Like,
yeah.
You were 69 with dudes. Was that secretly a 71?
Nice. All right. Do you want to break it here or do you want to keep going?
Let's have a break because right. I need a cigarette and...
All right. Let's attend to vices. We'll come back and we'll talk about the national motto and how it was fucked with in the 50s.
And then I'm going to get into some fucking danger.
I know you've got some talking points. All right. We'll be back. Fuck God. Hail Satan. In God we distrust.
Suck my knob.
Live sinfully and live well.
Okay. You continue for some bizarre reason to listen to Perpetual Sin podcast. This is our In God We Distrust episode. Josh, did you know that In God We Trust is the fucking national motto of the United States of America?
That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks knob.
Yeah, so this is another scenario where E Pluribus Unum, out of many one, was essentially the de facto motto of the United States, and in fact it was on the initial Great Seal of the United States, starting in 1782 and onward, until 1956,
all right,
when it was changed to In God We Trust. All right, let's get into this. The roots, the history, where did this whole concept of In God We Trust even fucking start? Where did that phrase start? So I'm just going to talk about this briefly. There's the apparent biblical roots of this whole thing. Per the King James Bible, in Psalm 56:11, we have, quote, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me," unquote. Psalms 115, 9 through 11 have repeated references to, you know, something like trust in the Lord. So here's an example. We have, "O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." We have another, "O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." And then finally we have, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." So repeatedly.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, so this is, I was reading from quotations of one translation of the King James Bible, of various Psalms.
Okay.
So this is, I'm bringing this up because, like the Gettysburg Address, it is often cited in later developments to come.
No, I'm about to fucking unleash fucking hell.
Do it.
Okay. Money is your God, no matter which deity you pray to. If you wish to live, money is what you're praying to.
So instead of "In God we trust," it should be "In the dollar we trust."
Absolutely. Like,
this is all developing into how we got "In God we trust" on our money.
Yeah.
As we have it here in the United States right now. So yeah, I talked about the biblical roots. Let's just kind of get, here we are in our time machine again. Let's move between the years of 1861 and 1872. This gets into the Civil War and their arounds. It was used in certain Civil War political mottos on both sides. So Christians petitioned the Treasury Department to recognize, quote, "the Almighty God" on U.S. coinage to counter, quote, "heathenism." That was one general
thing. Move on, heathens. This is a Christian country.
Yeah. So again, we've got early theocrats trying to fuck with shit. All right, so, and then again, to the Civil War, this was used in both Confederate and Union military and political decor, "In God We Trust" on both sides. It was used by the Union to boost morale and to claim their providence of God against the Confederacy, whose Constitution mentioned God, but the Unions didn't. And so the South was essentially claiming, well, God's on our side. And so the Union came along and said, oh, hang on a second, "In God We Trust, we've got the God too, God's on our side." So as such, it was printed on some Union and eventually all U.S. coinage from there, right? Now, "In God We Trust" was not on our paper currency until 1955. Well, with one sort of exception, there was one very specific Treasury note In there it read, "In God is our trust." But yeah, it didn't really properly kick off until 1955. In 1955, Congress and Eisenhower basically worked together to require it on all U.S. currency. So the public reactions to adding "In God We Trust" on our currency in 55 and thereafter, of course, on the Christian front, we saw approval. However, there were some Christians, although they approved with this change to our currency, wanted to go further with "In God alone is our trust," or "God our Christ." Some Christians wanted that on our fucking currency.
Yeah.
The secular reactions at the time were trying to say, look, we can carry religion in our hearts, but not our pockets. And then there were some jokes in the media. There were popular misreads. And this goes to your point, Josh. You'll love this. Some popular misreads that were in the media of the time said, "In gold we trust."
Ooh.
Which, to your point, is a little bit more accurate.
I believe that.
But that's all about the currency. Now, I knew this, but I was dismayed to be reminded of this. In 1956, Congress passed a declaration making, quote, "In God we trust," unquote, the official national motto. Now get this. In 2000, the House called for public displays of the motto on public buildings and monuments, which is how we got "In God We Trust" above, like, courthouses and public monuments and shit. In 2006, moving forward again, 50 years since the first bill passed, the Senate reaffirmed it, and so did the House in 2011.
Oh, that's shitty
as fuck. So it's still, yeah, into the relatively contemporary age, in as recently as 2011 and 2006, houses of Congress were like, yep, this is still our national motto.
Fuck that
guy. And let's keep rolling it out to public buildings and monuments.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Look, we walked through all this and got into, again, this is just sort of like dancing on the tips of icebergs of details here, but just to kind of like introduce this idea that all of these things on our currency and in our Pledge of Allegiance and above our public monuments, right, this "In God We Trust" or "One Nation Under God" shit, you know, they cite that as proof that this is a Christian nation. Fuck you. It wasn't meant to be. If you look at the actual founding documents, God and religion was not mentioned in any of the Federalist Papers or the Bill of Rights or the Constitution Amendments at all, other than to essentially affirm church-state division. Keep religion out of fucking government. And if you're going to have it in there, according to the accommodationalist clause, you have to show plurality. If you're opening the door for Christians, you have to open the door for all other religions, insofar as you're going to have government acknowledge it.
I think even on the almighty dollar, it should be separation of church and state flat out. Like,
but I know you wanted to also talk about, if in God we distrust, who do we put our trust in? In Satan we trust. Is that fair?
Sure.
To say in our non-theistic version of Satanism, to say in Satan we trust is equivalent to saying in ourselves we trust.
In I we trust? I mean, like, how could we, rename
it? It's like off of 1992 Dehumanizer, Black Sabbath, I.
I. Why?
Fucking Dio, anyway.
In Dio. Dio is technically God. I trust in Ronnie James Dio more than I trust in the theological, quote-unquote, God figurehead.
Yeah. I definitely trust in Dio more.
Because I've seen Dio numerous times. I know he exists. I know he's 5'4", and I know he's a fucking champion.
In other words, he's not a myth.
No, he's a fucking legend. Yeah. He's a fucking god. He's a man-made fucking god.
Fucking hell,
and he's fucking
man.
Real. Like, if you listen to Rainbow, you listen to his shit with Sabbath, you listen to fucking Rainbow, you listen to his shit with Sabbath again, you listen to his solo shit again. Dio fucking rules. God does not.
Nice. Well, do you want to take a pause or do you want to go right into the cut list?
Let's take a pause so I can read, because I had a different list set up and now I'm fucking...
Lit. We will take a break and we'll come back with the final segment of this In God We Distrust episode, our cunt list. Get ready for it. We'll be back. In Satan We Trust. America is not a Christian nation. It was never meant to be a Christian nation. Not by its founders, not by the documents they set forth to found the nation. And if you ask me by my watch, it will never fucking be a Christian nation.
That's heavy.
And look, again, this is not to say you can't have Christian faith and you can't be an American and be a Christian. Good on you if that's what you want.
Yeah.
I'm talking about trying to shove Christianity down the fucking throat of all of America, and in particular about Christians who are trying to make the United States into a fucking Christian theocracy. Yeah, so here's one last talking point before we get to the cunt list on this, real quick. I've talked to some Christians, not all, but I've seen many Christians repeat this. Some Christians will say, well, to live as a Christian, you know, I need to live as Jesus. All right, great. You know, usually
for get up on the fucking post.
For the most charitable, the people who want to, quote, live as Jesus, they mean being compassionate and showing empathy. And great. If that's how you want to get to that place, it's the right thing happening for the wrong reason, if you ask me, but good on you. But no, some Christians will go, well, our very first commandment is you shall have no figure before God. And so they'll look at Satanists, they'll look at Buddhists, they'll look at any other religion, or they'll look at even atheists who will say, you know, that's where they will agree the dollar is the God.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll go, oh, well, you are putting something above God, therefore you are a heathen, therefore we must proselytize and mold the world to punish you and make room for us. Fuck those people.
Sure.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. Like, you are free to have your faith, but your faith does not give you license to go and shove other people around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's bring this one to a close with the cunt list, shall we?
I don't have a cunt.
Okay, well, I'll run down a cunt or two and you see what you have to say.
I
how's that?
I can lick an asshole, but I could definitely lick a cunt too.
I could go on for half an hour naming every fucking cunt, but I'll just keep it to the highlights. First cunt, Billy Graham, the Southern Baptist minister, the evangelist.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. This is a 2 or 3 time cunt now. I think this is a 3 time cunt. Senator McCarthy, before McCarthyism and all that shit.
Jesus, how many times has this dude been a cunt?
Yeah, forever and always. McCarthy, Senator McCarthy, you're a fucking cunt. Fuck you. The Knights of Columbus, they can go suck a dick. Unless that's what they want. In which case, they can get rammed by one. Unless that's what they want, in which case they can burn in hell. I'm pretty sure they don't want that.
No.
President Eisenhower. Fuck you, dude. You are a cunt.
You're on $1 coin.
Yep. And your whole chain of idiots. The George McPherson Doherty Presbyterian minister fucker who got him on that path to be changing shit in the 50s. Fuck you, you're a cunt. And then finally, Eisenhower's fucking proxy. Representative Oakman of Michigan, who was the one who actually introduced the bill on Eisenhower's behalf to add under God to the pledge. Fuck you. You're a cunt. Everybody in the 50s who had anything to do with twisting our nation in the direction of this theocracy. Fuck all of you. There you go, Josh. That's what I got.
Leave it to Beaver. The nuclear lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was trying to... Basically, it was propaganda for the nuclear lifestyle.
Right, and it's like you talk to anyone, even people born 1989 forward, it's Leave it to Beaver is essentially the staple of the 1950s lifestyle. So everyone on Leave it to Beaver, like, you're being hard on my dick. Go fuck yourself. You're a hard cunt.
All right, there it is.
Much like my personal life, I'm out of fucking cunt right now.
No, that's fair. All right. This has been an episode of Perpetual Sin, the In God We Distrust episode. We instead trust in ourselves, or we trust in Satan. As always, we wish you to live sinfully and live well. Fuck God and hail Satan.